Search itchannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending May 16th, 2008. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor.
Barb Darrow, Senior News Editor.
And Newswriter Colin Steele.
Today we'll be discussing a number of stories. We're going to be talking about Oracle's application integration, Dell's OEM deal with VMware, and later we'll be joined by Rivka Little to discuss the complexity of selling unified communications. Barb, why don't you tell us a little bit about Oracle's application integration?
Oracle, because it's bought so many applications in the past 3 or 4 years, they bought PeopleSoft, they bought JD Edwards, they bought Siebel, they bought a bunch, I think it's more than 30 companies. They are the poster child for the need for application integration, which is, you know, making sure that your ERP system talks to your CRM system, which talks to your, you know, whatever system. There was an Oracle user group a couple of weeks ago. They announced new support for Oracle's Accelerate program, which is geared to deliver applications faster to mid-market companies building on top of the Oracle stack. They also announced new support for the Oracle Application Integration Architecture, AIA. Partners actually gave Oracle good marks for what it's done thus far.
Barb, is this kind of, you know, Oracle's effort to take all the pieces they've acquired and really put them together in one really solid strategy instead of just kind of mixing and matching them as they went along?
Yeah, this is the strategy to get away from a mishmash of applications. And this is what they call the road to fusion. Fusion is this mythical next generation of applications. What Oracle has said is that over time, there will be a single set of applications that will take the best features of each of the component applications they've bought over time. In the meantime, Oracle is forging process integrations between these various islands of applications, because it's really the processes that need to talk to each other anyway.
In our next segment, we're going to discuss Dell's OEM deal with VMware. So Colin, why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
This has kind of been in the works for a while, but Dell finally formally announced its plans to embed VMware's ESXi hypervisor in Dell's PowerEdge servers. The big deal here was that Dell's announcement stressed how easy it will be for customers to go onto Dell's website, buy these new servers with VMware, customize them for their needs, and, you know, get them directly from Dell. The announcement did not mention the channel at all. Dell, of course, has a long-standing history of direct sales. They started a formal partner program in December, but people are still skeptical, and this announcement didn't do anything to curb that skepticism. I asked Dell about their plans for the channel with this new virtualization push, and they did say that partners will be able to sell these servers with the VMware solutions, but, you know, based on how they presented it when they made the announcement, it doesn't seem like it's their top priority.
So can partners make any margin selling this, or is basically will partners have to order this direct and then turn around and give it to their customers?
Dell didn't really go into that. There was also some other recent Dell news that I wanted to mention since we're on the topic. They finally closed on their acquisition of MessageOne. And some of the partners, Dell partners that I talked to, said that this will create even more competition between Dell and its partners for the services business of their customers. So there's another issue to keep their eye on in terms of more channel conflict with Dell. But one of the MSP partners that I talked about did say that there are enough services out there to go around.
All right, Colin, let us know what happens with that. Thank you. And now we're going to be joined by Rivka Little, our senior news writer. Welcome, Rivka.
Hi there.
Rivka, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on with selling unified communications and what exactly is so complex about it?
Unified communications has been around for a while, but this year it's experiencing uptake. Partners are really having trouble convincing the enterprise that they absolutely need it. They're getting around that. However, many of the unified communications offerings are offered by partnerships through vendors. And what that means for partners is that they have to either be cross-certified or they have to partner with another channel partner that's certified with that vendor. I think at Interop, probably the most exciting unified communications announcement was a partnership between Mitel, Microsoft, Foundry, and Sun that pulled together landline, cell phone, database, location-based services, and it was a really exciting offering, but when I asked them how partners would approach that, they said, well, they have to be certified for every one of these companies. And, you know, some of the really big integrators are, but many of the smaller ones are not.
That's a big load for a smallish VAR to handle, isn't it, Rivka?
Exactly. I think the big challenge will be for the smaller VAR. And the worrisome thing about that is that a lot of times the smaller VARs are serving SMBs as well as larger companies. and unified communications are meant to take off specifically this year in SMBs and these sort of smaller, large companies.
We've been hearing a lot about unified communications from on the data networking side from Cisco and from the software side from Microsoft, but neither of these companies have all the pieces. But if you were looking out there, which vendor out there offers the biggest piece of real estate in unified communications, would you say?
Cisco has the best end-to-end offering at this point. They've done a really good job of pulling together hardware and software. That being said, they have plenty of partnerships. I mean, their partnership with Nokia for wireless unified communications was a big splash at Interop. Almost all of the vendors have these big partnerships. The best solutions ultimately will probably be from those companies that partner because they're more complete.
When Microsoft started talking up Office Live Communications, there's still a lot of people out there who are saying, look, you know, I have to reboot my Windows machine like a couple times a day. How much do I really want to put my telephony onto a Microsoft platform going forward? Is that still an issue?
I think it's a huge issue. Not only is that an issue, but unified communications to a large degree, like telepresence, is a very telecom-oriented service. And a company like Cisco with a telecom background is going to do better at it. And as far as evangelizing goes, right now unified communications is not seen as a business-critical application. The good news for partners is once you start to show businesses how to use it, they begin to see it as business critical pretty quickly, or at least that's what people have been telling me.
I was going to say, the race is on now from the datacom vendors and the PC-oriented vendors going forward, right?
Definitely.
Thanks for joining us, Rivka. Before we sign off, I had some special news that I wanted to mention. Next week's guest on the SearchITChannel.com Partner News podcast will be Julie Parrish, who's the Worldwide Vice President of Channels for Symantec. So we're going to have a talk with her about some new partner program benefits that Symantec's pushing and some other security market issues. So look forward to that.
Great. Thanks, Colin. And you can find the links to the stories we've discussed so far below on the page. To download this podcast and other past ones, be sure to check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom,
Barb Darrow,
and Colin Steele.
And thank you for joining us.